Connectability presents the DSTO Information Sessions, held May 6, 2010, exploring creative alternatives to government-funded programs.
The session's going to be about 40 to 45 minutes of my asking questions to our panelists and then giving them a chance to answer the questions. And then we're going to take about 15 minutes for questions after that, 15 to 20 minutes. So if you have a question, if you don't mind just holding it or writing it down until the session is complete. I'm going to be asking questions to our panelists about their living situations, and then after that's done, we're going to have a little presentation about a new idea that is being started by one of the parents. So we're going to have a chance to talk about that. So I'd like to get a sense of who's here today for our panelists. So are there any self-advocates here in the room? If you could raise your hand. Self-advocates? Excellent. Good. Nice to see a couple there. Family members? Great. Fantastic. Community agencies? Anybody from community agencies? Okay. Ministry? Anybody from ministry here? One lonely hand. Thank you for joining us. Okay, so our session today is exploring creative alternatives. And this is admittedly a topic that a lot of families talk about, is how do we create living situations for ourselves or our family members, if it's a self-advocate who's talking or if it's a family member who's talking. How do we create living situations if we don't have any funding? And that's a very tough dilemma. How do we gain security into the future? How do we move in that direction? How do we pull together the resources that we have? How do we network in order to be able to meet other people so that we might consider a living arrangement with more than one person? These are questions that I hear from families all the time who are deliberating the future and what to do. Admittedly, there are some families who have taken the opportunity, who have pooled resources together, and who have created living situations without government funding. And we have a couple of those people here today with us. I'm very pleased to have them here. Also, this is not necessarily for everybody what we're going to be talking about today. It does take some resources, and we admit that. And that's something that we want to say right from the beginning. But it's great to share the stories, and it's great to hear what families are able to do so that we can all look to how we might do that. Okay, so I'm going to start off introductions, and I'm going to start off with Bonnie Heath, who's a parent, and her daughter, Jenny, Mary Pat Armstrong, who's a parent also, and beside her, her daughter, who just happens to be named Jenny also. We didn't do that on purpose. So when you're asking a question of Jenny, you might have to say Jenny in pink or Jenny in white. And at the end is Esther Tui, and Esther is with Community Living Toronto, and she's joining Mary Pat and Jenny to talk a little bit later about a new initiative that Mary Pat has started. So welcome. Thank you for joining us. So I think how we'd like to start off is to actually hear a little bit about where you live. So Jenny, I'm going to start with you, Jenny in pink. I'm going to start with you about where you live. Do you live alone or do you live with other people?
There's four.
Okay, so four people. And can you talk a little bit about how you guys live together?
My friend.
You live with your friends? Okay.
My dad.
Yeah. Your dad's...
No, you don't live with
your
dad.
With your mom, right?
Mommy, too.
Yeah. And...
And Sarah.
Sarah.
And Peter.
And Peter.
Good.
Peter. Sarah and Peter. Okay.
And it's my room.
And that's your room. Can I borrow this?
Yes.
Show people? So people get a sense of what Jenny is referencing here. She has a bit of an album. Sorry, okay. Coral. Sorry, this is going to take some time to get this down. Sorry. So just so everybody knows that this is a bit of an album that Jenny is looking at that tells her story about where she lives and her roommates. So Jenny, if it's okay with you, maybe people afterwards might come up and have a look at it. So you want to tell us a little bit more about where you live?
East End. Mm-hmm.
In the East End?
East End.
East End?
Yep. East End.
Scarborough.
In Scarborough.
Grass.
Computers.
Yep. What's your name?
Oh, back and forth.
Sorry, I have East End.
They have computers in the basement and they watch TV as part of their recreation. What do you do on Tuesdays?
My friend, as friend, I see.
Every once in a while they have a girls' weekend and so they invite their friends over and they have a party and a girls' weekend and they do various activities at those things.
Place pickup. Lucket. Hucket. Kid.
One of the parties they did a spa weekend and they did mass.
But brain.
In the morning.
At dinner.
What do you do?
Rice and chicken.
So they help to cook their own meals and they all make their own breakfasts.
At future coming. My friend, Elise, at the net.
They went to the movies and they saw Alice in Wonderland.
Nice. You're missing the pictures.
Yeah. That's one. Bowling.
Bowling, okay.
Yeah.
And at one point they had, on Wednesdays, they were going bowling and doing some activities as a group.
For a game of work.
Bowling game was
over. My house.
Thank you, Jenny.
That's
that was,
it.
That's it.
Thank you very much. That was wonderful. Thank you.
So I'm going to come over to Jenny and White.
Jenny and White.
So, Jenny, can you tell us who you live with?
Okay. Pet the collie.
And Annie.
And usually somebody else.
Somebody else.
We're in the middle right now of a new housemate. A new housemate is about to move in at the end of the month. But there's room for how many girls in your house?
Three.
So Jenny, can you tell us what does it look like at your house? What do you guys, what do you and the girls do at your house?
I watch TV.
And you go out all day
working? Yeah. I work all day.
Where do you work?
Spadina.
And what do you do there?
Filing.
You do some filing?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, one of the departments. What else do you do there?
Mm-hmm. Oh, at the coffee van.
You're working at the coffee van.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And what do you do in the mornings? Where do you go downtown?
I go to CIBC Mellon.
And what do you do at CIBC Mellon?
Mellon?
The May Room.
And what does Annie do? She helps cook.
Yeah.
She does a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Do you help cook?
Yeah.
That's a test question. I was hoping she would say that yes. So you help cook your meals?
Mm-hmm.
Do you clean the house?
Do you?
Do you clean the house?
Yeah.
Yes, you clean the house? Okay.
Mm-hmm. Vacuuming?
I do vacuuming.
So Mary Pat, I need you to use the mic as well.
Can everybody hear Mary Pat?
No.
Okay, so.
And what else do you do? What about these things?
Clothing.
What about it?
Annie helps me.
What does she help you
washing?
With?
Washing my clothes.
So where do you live? Where do you live?
Young and Woman.
And what do you usually do on the weekends?
I go up north with my family.
Nice.
I am done.
I'm going to save that till the end. So I'm going to come back to Jenny and Bonnie. And so the living arrangement with Jenny and her friends, Bonnie, how did you set that up? Can you tell us a little bit about that story, about how this living situation came to be and how you got it up and running?
Well, about 4 years ago, a group of us parents got together and decided that we didn't want to wait for group home situation or government-funded housing. So we started a group called Scarborough Residential Alternatives, and we meet once a month, and we look at ways to house our children and do it where they want in the type of housing they want, and be part of their community. So we all got together and we looked at a couple of places. We have actually two houses that are up and running. There's another house with three young men in it, and their house is through Toronto Housing Corporation, so they get the subsidized housing. Our house, Jenny's house, is just market rent. So it just depends on where you want to live and what's available at the time. So we explored many situations, how to work it. They have a support worker that lives in the house, and the support worker is there to support, not to do. So they all have their individual chores. They're all responsible for their own laundry, their own rooms. Cooking, they still need help with. We're working on menus, budgeting, you know, the whole nine yards when you move out on your own. We, with Scarborough Res, we're now in the process of incorporating so that then we can apply for our charity license because we need money. In order for this, for everyone to be able to afford this, they can afford the rent, they can afford the food because you're dividing it up amongst three individuals. It's the support individual that costs you the money. And there's no funding at this, no government funding at this point in time. We've tried and still trying and still working on it, but, there's nothing available. So we fear we have to raise our own money to help pay for this and to move it forward.
How long has it been?
We've been around for 4 years.
Jenny and Mary Pat, I wonder if you could tell us about how your place came to be, Jenny, and how did you bring it together and so that it's working?
My story's a little bit different than Bonnie's. I love Bonnie's story. That's terrific. I didn't know a lot of other families in similar situations, and my husband and I were really lucky that we were able to buy a house for Jenny and have a couple of her friends live with her. We thought about this for a long time and then carefully thought about where we wanted the house to be and drew up a little bit of a geography plan, really centered around Yonge Street and subways, and in a neighborhood and not too far from us. It's about, Jenny's about a 20-minute drive, or what did it take you this morning by subway?
30 minutes?
About a half an hour by subway, to get to us. And
So then once we found a house, it did not have a separate apartment in it, and we knew that that was going to be necessary because we wanted to hire a live-in staff who wouldn't need to be there full-time working, but needed to live there. So we found a house and turned the bottom floor into a separate apartment, and which took very little effort at all, adding a door and a tiny little galley kitchen. But really, that's just so that Annie, who is the caregiver, has her own privacy. But the whole idea is really that everybody is there as a family and integrates together. There's one TV in the living room. They all have computers, but there's just one TV in the living room, and they congregate there in the evenings. So then we hired a caregiver, and Jenny's house has been going for 6.5 years now. It's been amazing, I would say, for Jenny. And we've had more than one caregiver, but I can talk a little bit more about that maybe going forward. Did I want to say anything else about it's really finding housemates and hiring a caregiver. And we as parents who are involved in the house all share. My husband and I have the major responsibility for the house itself, but for all the running of the house, we share responsibilities as three families. And we all make the decisions together, who is hired, who moves in. And each of the girls have their own daily routines, and then they all get back together in the evenings. And sometimes some of them are there on the weekends, and sometimes nobody's there on the weekends. Just flexible by week by week.
You both mentioned about having live-in caregivers, and certainly when I've spoken with families, that's part of the challenge, is where do you find this person who's going to live there and be a roommate and be a friend and still maybe have some responsibilities to ensure safety and support. So are you both able to speak a little bit to that? Okay, so why don't I start with Jenny and Pink and Warren.
The caregiver at Jenny's house is fresh from university, so she needed a place to live and a job. And
Can everybody hear Bonnie? Can everybody hear okay?
Okay. Had worked in the developmental services previously, so she had experience. She's young, she's gabby, she's full of energy, which we're not always full of energy anymore. She lives there, and all the young people that are at the house at the present time go home on weekends because she needs some space. And our home has only been up 7 months, so we're still pretty new with it.
So is she the only one you haven't had to change over in a live-in person?
No, she's the only one. So.
She's the only one. Okay. So you've had to change over. So if you can speak a little bit to how you found that person.
Well, it's a very special position. I'd say it's one of the most important parts of the whole concept of independent living. And I guess also these people don't usually stay forever, although we have somebody now who I'm hoping will, but you can't live that way, just day by day, month by month. But the first caregiver we hired, the first two caregivers we hired We found from Jenny's school that she went to for, about 15 years, mm-hmm. which is called?
Kohai.
Yeah, Kohai Educational Center. And it was just an amazing place. Jenny, with some chagrin, has finally graduated to almost full-time work. But mm-hmm. when she realized that the holiday scene changed greatly, she wasn't sure she liked that idea. But the first caregiver we found through Kohai, she was the niece of one of the teachers at Kohai, and she was here on a visitor's visa from Romania, fell in love with one of the Kohai teachers, married him, and that was a great thing, because it's nice if the person in the position has a partner who, so that they have support occasionally if Miruna, her name was, occasionally if she was sick, her husband could take over and help the girls at dinner time and breakfast. So they were there. She was there for 4 years, I guess. But she was young too. She was in her late 20s and wanted in the end to go back to school. And so I think four years. So then we hired again through Kohai, the daughter of the accountant at the school, another young woman, but she told me right off the bat she could only come for 2 years. So I knew that going in, and she was a student, and she is still working in this area, but not as a caregiver in a home. She's working as a job coach for community living, I think. Yeah. And so she was great as well. We now have, since last September, just a fabulous person who I hope really will be there for longer. And she is a little older. She's so really young, I think, but relatively speaking, she's in her early
40s.
40s, Jenny tells me.
44.
She's in her 40s. But she's Filipino, and I found her with the help of my daughter's nanny. So, who has 3 little kids and works. So, my daughter, my eldest daughter, Jenny's older sister. So, she had a great network, and she went to work to help me. So it's not an easy process. I did at one point along my journey attempt to put ads out there, and that didn't work at all. You need a really special person who's got lots of patience, very caring and loving, but also it believes in discipline and giving the house some parameters. So it's been a journey, and it will continue to be a journey, I am sure, but we have a real winner right now.
Excellent.
Thank you both for sharing that. Thank you, Jenny.
You're welcome.
So it is very challenging, these kinds of things, to build in stability, and it speaks to how important it is to network with other people and to have people that you can access and put the word out there. You with the parents group, Bonnie, all together, and then through your connections and trying to find that special person to come in and live with Jenny and her friends. So these are no doubt challenges within themselves, but I wonder if you could speak generally to what you would say have been some of your challenges, Bonnie and Jenny, for the last 4 years.
Well, first it's fact-finding and figuring it out and getting over your fear. I think that's the hardest part, because when I first started in this, I was determined we were going to find housing, but if I thought about it, I just went, oh, God, we can't do that. So it's knowing that it's a scary process, but it can be worked out, and the things that you thought were going to happen don't happen, then something totally off the wall will come up, and you have to figure it out. But I have two other children, and they have moved out, and we had challenges with them because they had to learn how to do laundry and things like that. So it's a constant learning process. It's learning how to let go of it. Things won't be done perfectly, and they won't be done the way they're done at home. And your children will soon tell you that it's their house and they can do it the way they want to. And we do have to respect that. That is, it is their home, and they have the right to a messy room if they want. Now, in our case, my daughter is very organized, probably more so than I am, and so her room is well organized, but she doesn't like you to touch it. And so you have to respect that. So learning that as a mother is often hard.
You had to teach her, haven't you, Jenny? Okay? Teach mom to respect that space?
Yes. Yes.
She didn't need a mic for
no.
that. Thank you, Jenny. Jenny and all your friends, Jenny, you've lived together, right, the whole 4 years?
Yeah.
All the same people?
Oh, they've only been together 7 months.
Oh, I'm sorry, 7 months. Yeah. I've lost track of the group, the alternative, residential alternatives group. So 7 months. So all you and all your friends, the whole 7 months have been together.
Yeah.
So this is kind of nice where we have people at the beginning of the journey at 7 months and people who have still to some extent probably feels like the beginning of the journey, I'm sure, even after 6 or so years, right? So Jenny, have you and your friends have you guys been living together the whole time, or have you changed roommates?
Have you changed roommates?
Yeah.
You want to tell us a little bit about that? who changed? One person? One person. One person. Okay.
Her name was Sarah.
Okay.
And so how did you find the next person?
We don't find him yet.
She's coming.
Soon. The
end of the month. And we found her.
To Petra.
Yeah, you got it.
To Petra.
The other housemate.
How did you find her?
To Petra.
To Petra.
Through Petra.
Yeah.
Oh, that's how you found the next person. Okay. So can you just speak to that?
So really to networking, because the person who is the young woman who's moving in at the end of this month works in one of her jobs with the other housemate in the house. So that's how we found. We have had Petra Tolley's been with Jenny since the very beginning, and they went to Kohai together. The third person when we opened the house was another Kohai friend, and she was there for a couple of years and then moved on to different living arrangements that were really more suitable for her, and Sarah moved in, who Jenny just referred to, and she left 3 months or so ago to move out totally on her own now. And she had always wanted to do that, but her parents didn't feel she was ready for that step, going straight from her parents' home. But she has now moved out into an apartment all by herself, which is what she really wanted. And we had found her also through Kohai. She had gone to Kohai. But now Katie, who's going to move in, we found through Petra and her job coach.
Thank you. So the last question I have is, what advice would you suggest for others who were thinking of networking with others and looking at a living arrangement?
Networking is huge. Getting in with a group, so that you can figure out things, find other people that have like ideas of what living would look like for your children. Because not every situation is going to be the same. It's you have to look at what your children want, what you're comfortable with at the time, and nothing is stagnant. It constantly changes. So it's getting out there, meeting with other parents is the biggest.
Now I noticed, Jenny, you keep referring to some things here. Is there anything you want to share or you want to talk about?
Yes.
You want to talk about that?
I had my dad, you one.
Can I hold it up? So
at my house.
That's an article about your house?
That's not me.
That's you?
Yeah.
All right. There's an article about Jenny in her house, so if people want to come up and see that afterwards, thank you.
That's it.
You're done too, right? Yeah. Thank you. Advice?
I guess our biggest challenges have been finding a caregiver that really fits in with the house and the girls, and finding the right housemates. And that is all about networking. So I think that's another area for us, was finding a neighborhood that would really work for Jenny. And for us, that had to be near Yonge Street so that she had access to the subway easily and could get to places easily. But really, the caregiver and the housemates, and you know, if you make a mistake, that's okay, because it's so easy to do. I mean, we look at our other kids, and as they've gone to university, etc., and had housemates, and ones that did work and ones that didn't work. So, I mean, all through our lives, people we live with, it's all a lot of give and take, and finding the right compatibility. So, just lots of discussion with the people you're considering teaming up with, and what are the and give and take. We have two bathrooms upstairs in Jenny's house, and three bedrooms. So one of the girls it's very important for her to have privacy around bathroom situations. So she has her own bathroom and the smallest bedroom. And the other two girls who don't have issues with privacy share a bathroom and have bigger bedrooms. So it's all about a lot of sharing and cooperating with the other families, and just finding like-minded families that can work together.
Thank you. Before we go on to questions, I just want to give Mary Pat an opportunity to speak to a new initiative that she started. And if everybody's wondering, why is Esther here? She has not said a word. This is where she comes in, and that she was part of the partnership. The best person really to talk about this is Mary Pat, and she's very special in the sense that she took her situation and she took it one step further, so I'm going to give her an opportunity to talk about that.
Well, I guess over the last 6 years or so have watched how Jenny has blossomed in independence and self-esteem and everything else. And I really wanted to be able to somehow share that with other families, because I have felt that we have been so lucky to be able to do what we've done. But I couldn't go out and buy 200 or 300 homes. So I scratched my head for a long time and took some long walks and talked to good friends and other professionals and came up with a germ of an idea that really revolved around families helping themselves and families helping families and being creative. There's no such thing as there's no solution. Everybody with maybe some help from people who've had some experience with it and from health professionals or professionals can find a solution. But there are hiccups along the way, and so how do we deal with those? So then I thought I can't do this alone. I went to Community Living Toronto, to Bruce Rivers, the CEO, and shared my ideas with him. And we agreed to partner together to work on this, because Community Living Toronto has done this for a gazillion years. But they have waiting lists as well, and they also can't just go out and buy 100 new homes. So we joined partnership, and Bruce gave me to Esther for a part of her time. And so Esther kind of jumped on the bandwagon to help me figure this all out. And so I'll tell a little bit of it from my perspective, and then she's going to tell some of it from her perspective. So one of the things Esther did was bring in some families to meet and share their stories with me. My eyes were so opened, and I just felt so lucky that I hadn't been dealing with waiting lists and things like that and long forms, which I now have much greater understanding for, just from listening to them. Esther also took me around to visit many of the different kinds of living arrangements that Community Living Toronto offers and provides. And so that also opened my eyes to a lot of other alternatives. And then we started to put things down on paper and put this initiative together. And I will just give you a tiny little synopsis. We actually have hired a full-time staff member that we call a facilitator. And she is in the room today, and her name is Laura Starrett. Laura, would you stand up, please? So for almost 2 weeks now, Laura's been working on this project as well, although she knew about it and was doing a little work on it before 2 weeks ago. So we have a full-time staff member. We will have our own website under Connectability, and Jason is here today taping this, and he will he's going to put together the website. We have an advisory board of 11 now, and the board we are under the umbrella of Community Living Toronto, but we have our own board, and we will steer the policies, and we will, we're there to raise funds. Another major element of this initiative is, and you know what? I never told you what it's called. Oh my gosh. It's called LIGHTS.
I figured you'd get around to it sooner or later.
Which is an acronym for Living in Gifted Homes Through Support. But if you just remember lights, that's what it's going to be. And it's, you know, I see it as a beacon, I hope, and a door that's going to open, and all you families are going to come through, or several of you families are going to come through that door and meet other families. This is all going to be about connecting with other families, about helping each family, put together a person-directed plan, and Laura will be there to help with that, as well as a resource team from Community Living Toronto, and I want Esther to speak more about that. But it's a true partnership with Community Living Toronto, but we also see it as a partnership with families, and families partnering with each other. Lights will provide interim funding when necessary. We don't see that perhaps everybody will need the funding, but we won't probably be able to provide all the funding for each individual family that they need, because then less families will be helped. So what we're hoping is we can provide some bridge financing until families can get government funding. And while I was talking, another thought came into my head that I want to tell you about. And I have forgotten it for the moment. So why don't I turn it over to Esther for the moment. And maybe that thought will come back.
Hi. I've been told we don't have a lot of time, so I'm just going to give us a quick overview of the journey that we went through, Community Living Toronto, with MaryPat. In June of last year, I was approached by Bruce and MaryPat about lights and how we could move it forward. At that time, it was very conceptual. MaryPat came and says, Jenny's living in her own house. I want to create this for other people. So what we did was we did a number of tours of group homes within a Community Living Toronto that had some unique pieces to it. People living on their own, people living in their own independent units. We also went out to meet families who had living arrangements set up, something like Barney had. And for me, one of the biggest things I did was when MaryPat and Jenny invited me to go see Jenny's house. I went to see Jenny's house. I got there. Jenny came about 5 minutes later with her hot chocolate from the second cup in hand. And she was very, just very happy and very proud to show me around her house. And it was in her bedroom. There was lots of photographs of her family. It was very personally decorated. In her living room, the girls have a snooker table. And it just struck me how happy they looked and how comfortable they felt and how proud they felt also. And just that they were just three young single ladies living a single life. And it was at that point that the philosophy was that, I knew what MaryPat was looking for at that point, or I felt I knew. So we had some meetings. I met with staff from Community Living Toronto who work with families. We explored what they felt families were looking for. And then we also had a parents meeting. And some of the exciting things that we realized is we knew that a lot of parents have got groups together, residential alternative groups. We know there's a need out there. We know that parents are looking for residential arrangements and options for their children, but not necessarily the traditional group homes that are offered. What was interesting at the parents' meeting is, although financial is a big piece of it, how do you pay for the ongoing supports? It's not so much the housing, but the supports, the ongoing supports that really is the financial challenge. that definitely is there and it doesn't go away. But some of the other challenges parents identified, they sort of identified as much stronger. And they were, parents said, I just don't know where to start. I know I want to do something and I know I want my daughter or my son to live on their own, but I just don't know where to start. They also said, I don't know how to connect with other families. How, you know, I'm looking at roommate situations, but how do we connect with other people like-minded? And also, it's once we know what we want, once we know what we want to do, how do we actually navigate all those systems? How do we actually make it happen? And that's where LIGHTS came from. We looked at a lot of those challenges that families face, and we felt if we had like a centralized place where families could come to, and we felt that a facilitator, you know, the human touch was very important. A paid staff who had a lot of experience working with families, working with residential alternative situations, and also working with financial pieces, budget building and stuff like that. So we felt the staff person, the facilitator was key. We also felt that the website, having a website, is going to be really important. And this can be a place that families can just browse through, gain more information, find out what's happening there. And also there'll be a matching process where families can connect with each other for roommate type situations. So that, and then there's the big fundraising component and the advisory board that are going to be working with LIGHTS. And so we're still really in a developmental stage right now. We're still developing LIGHTS, and it's turning out to be a wonderful partnership with community members such as Mary Pat and Community Living Toronto. And it's amazing sort of the journey that we have gone through. Quickly, just the resource team. That is a team of Community Living Toronto staff that normally go out, and they're easily accessible by all members of the community. But what we've started doing is through LIGHTS, we know that what this team can do, they can budget develop, they can help families develop a plan. Through LIGHTS, they will have access to this resource team.
I feel like I'm going to have to apologize. I'm looking at the time, but Mary Pat wants to fit in one last thing. Okay, should we let her?
I just remembered what I had forgotten. That was all. And it really is a very important part of the whole LIGHTS picture, and that is that the families that come and that we can help need to be families who have the energy and the willpower to steer their own plans. We are there to support them and help them and open doors for them and introduce them to other people, and then let them go on their way, and if they have more problems, come back to us with those problems as well. But families need to want to drive their own plan.
I also see, just in case people are wondering, how do we get any information about this, Mary Pat and Laura have kindly provided a one-sheet information for you. It is still in development phase, but, you know, the name of the facilitator, Laura, is there, and the phone number, so that you can keep in touch with us about where we are with things. Okay, questions? Yes. Can you come up here?
This is for Mary. Jenny's house, do you have any future plans on how the house is going to be maintained and whose name it's going to be under after you pass away and you're no longer here? What are your plans?
Our two daughters, other daughters.
Oh, so it's in their name? The house is in their name?
It will be. It will be. Eventually, that's what will probably happen, but I'm not totally there yet. In more ways than one, I hope.
So,
I totally appreciate the question. It's a very relevant one.
Yeah, it is a relevant one. What happens after? That's the next step, right? The journey's never over, is it?
No.
So your two daughters would be kind of the trustee.
Yes.
That's what you're thinking right
and
at the moment.
They're prepared for that.
Okay.
Any other questions? Come on up. Yes, when living together, there is the tendency to, of course, the proximity and the relation to each other will result in conflict. Now, who does the conflict resolution here? The parents, or you just leave it to themselves to resolve their own conflicts?
Interesting question. For those who can't hear at the back, who does the conflict resolution? Because as people live together, it's kind of inevitable that that happens.
We're new, so we haven't had a lot of conflict. The individuals themselves are very good at talking to each other about, I don't like the way you're doing this, or this is bothering me. So we're working on encouraging that component, because that's what would happen in a natural setting, is you'd say, hey, I don't like that. Or so we're very much working on that. And conflict hasn't really been there either. I mean, we've all had difference of opinions, but we work through it. So it's being able to talk to each other and keeping that communication open.
Yes, I would say the girls, with the help of the facilitator, the caregiver, they work through. We had one situation that was more difficult than that process. So the parents stepped in to help, but we always, when we had our meetings, the girls and the caregiver were there as well. So we all work as a team.
Yeah, do you want to say your question? Or I could repeat it.
It's wonderful to see this partnership between community living and families. I'm just wondering, is there any chance or room at the table, perhaps, for any government ministries to step forward and support this model?
Mary Pat?
Oh, yes. And we are talking. It's just beginning, but we are talking.
Ministry has actually been very open to meeting and having that conversation, which is great. Any other questions?
Two quick questions. Oh, okay. Can I one and then two over there?
Can you repeat it? Are they receiving ODSP or any other income?
ODSP or any other income?
All of them are on ODSP.
All of the individuals are on ODSP?
And Jenny's housemates are on ODSP also.
Okay, that answers that, my second part.
You want to come up?
No. How do you choose your candidates for the home?
The people who are living there? How do you choose the roommates?
You want to see?
Jenny and Peter knew each other for years and years, and they lived together, and the other individual is part of our group.
I guess I want to know, for the average Joe, how easy would it be to get into a facility like yours? So what would the criteria be?
Have a child with a disability and come to the meetings.
There needs to be a space. And for that's, at least in Jenny's house, just needs to be a space. But when we were looking for Katie, who's moving in at the end of the month, Katie and her family came and, I met with her mom, and then Katie and her family came and met with Petra and her family and Jenny and her family and the caregiver, and we just all explored our interests and whether the new person who was possibly coming in, the new housemate, that was comfortable with the place.
do you ever say, sorry, I'm going on, do you ever say your disability is a little bit more than we can handle? In other words, are you looking for a certain level of
that, control? Yes, yes. That would definitely be possible. Because the caregiver who's hired in Jenny's house is not hired for a 24/7 scenario. She's hired for a scenario that would involve possibly weekends and mornings and late afternoon and evenings, that kind of thing.
And I think that was part of the revelation when you went around to see different places, is that some people do need that a little bit more support and or that support all through the different hours of the day. So how do you pool together to make that happen? Do you want to come?
No, thanks. I just wanted to know how you maintain separateness from your daughter and maintain a connection, because I think it'd be very easy for either to overstep.
So the question, is that it?
Yes, thank you.
But the question is, how do the parents maintain a balance between the connectedness with their daughters while also respecting the boundaries of separateness?
In the beginning, you're very hands-on because it's a new thing for everybody, and it's a slow process to begin to move in. We see our children quite often because we're like 5 minutes from them, and not all of them are TCC trained. So some of the parents are still driving their children to various programs and things. So keeping the separateness is a little bit harder, although you have to respect their boundaries. Their room is their private space. It's not for you to go and change things around. Their house is their house. You do have to respect that, but you also have to keep an eye on safety issues, like making sure that the food is not expired and things like that. But that's part of the facilitator's job. Because they actually live there, they're part of the house, and they want to live in a clean house and a proper. So it's learning to let go, as with all children. And like I said, these guys are very good at telling you that you've overstepped your bounds.
Yes, I kind of let Jenny drive that situation. Initially, she probably called every night, and now she maybe calls sometimes every night, sometimes a couple of times a week. She usually always wants to come up north on the weekend, but I always let her make that decision. You know, just one little very tangible example. When we drop Jenny off at her house on Sunday evenings, I always used to go in with her because she's often the first one home and the caregiver might be downstairs, but you don't, in her apartment, but you don't know. And so I go in and turn on lights and go upstairs with her to her bedroom and just hang out for a few minutes kind of thing. Now, we pull into the driveway and I say, want me to come in? No, night, bye. So she drives that whole balance.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
I know that we have extended your time and we really appreciate it. Laura and Angela are helping with handing out the information sheets on lights to save a little bit of time for you. And the evaluations, actually you don't bring them to me apparently, you bring them to her. So thank you. Was there any other burning questions while people are getting together? Thank you very much. Colleen?
Yeah, I had a quick question. Were both Jennies asking to move out, or did you move that process along?
She wasn't asking to move out, but we were talking about it. Her other two siblings had moved out, So it was kind of the question of, like, how come everybody's leaving? And so then we started talking about it, started asking, using pictures of houses and apartments and things, how to decorate the house. So that got her kind of going in that direction.
Yes, that's a really good question. Jenny wasn't really asking either, but we started talking, and then she got very interested. And she helped house hunt, and she helped decorate, and one day as we were driving up Young Street with a bunch of her clothes, her sister and I, and Jenny was in the back seat, and she said, "Mom, is this forever?" And I looked in the rearview mirror and I said, "Yup." And then I said, "Is that okay?" And she looked back at me in the rearview mirror and she said, "Yup."
Thank you, everyone. And I'd like to really extend an appreciation to Jenny in pink, Bonnie, Jenny in white, very kind, and Esther for joining us today. Thank you so much. And I do have some gifts of appreciation here. Thank you.
Oh, come on. No. Oh, come on. 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 Come on.